Several are dead after a shooting at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis. We'll hear from police. Plus, China's economy sees record first quarter growth, but can it keep the momentum? And what's the plan to get students back in school now and into the summer?
A good deal of the schools are going to improve their summer school offerings so that students have some extra time on task to address some of their learning loss issues during the year.
It's Friday, April 16th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. We begin with the developing news out of Indiana. Police say at least 8 people are dead after a shooting at a FedEx ground facility near the Indianapolis airport and that the shooter took his own life. An officer gave a briefing to reporters.
We have been made aware of multiple other people with injuries who have been transported to local hospitals or who have transported themselves to local hospitals.
FedEx says it's aware of the shooting and cooperating with authorities. We'll keep you posted throughout the day on WSJ.com. Annual COVID-19 vaccine booster shots may be needed to further protect us. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla said we'll likely need the boosters within a year after getting the vaccines and then annual vaccinations to protect us as the virus evolves. He said that unlike the polio vaccine, where one dose is enough, the COVID virus looks more like the flu for which you get a shot every year. Bourla said more research is required. In Chicago, officials released body cam footage of a police officer fatally shooting a 13-year-old. Adam Toledo was shot at the end of March as he turned to surrender after a foot chase in an alley. The officer involved was identified in a police report as Eric E. Stillman, and he has been placed on administrative leave. The Chicago Police Department didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. There were some protests on Thursday night. The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, urged residents to remain calm during the investigation. China's economy saw record growth in this first quarter of 2021 as it shows strength in its recovery from the pandemic. What's behind it and what are the challenges ahead? Let's talk about this with our China Bureau Chief Jonathan Chang. He joins me from Beijing. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi there.
Jonathan, if you look at the data, China's economy surged 18.3% in Q1 from a year earlier. We've seen China make great strides in its recovery. Is this really a surprise?
Well, I mean, 18.3% is obviously a pretty eye-popping number. It's the highest quarterly year-on-year GDP growth that China's ever recorded, going back to the early 90s when it started reporting this data. But of course, there's more than meets the eye here. Obviously, the year-on-year means that we're comparing it against the first 3 months of 2020. And we all recall what that was like. That was when China shut down Wuhan in central China and shut down most of its economy. So compared to that base, the 18.3 is obviously nothing to sneeze at, but it's also perhaps overstating a little bit just how good things are. But no question that China's had 4 consecutive quarters now of pretty robust growth following that lockdown. They basically started in April last year to really start picking things up, and it hasn't really flagged.
What about challenges? What are potential concerns, such as inflation, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of concerns. There always are. I think if you look past the year-on-year number and you look at the quarter-on-quarter, you can see that China's economy grew by just 0.6% from the fourth quarter of last year. And that's the lowest number that China's ever seen in the past decade or so, with the exception of course, the first quarter of 2020. And that seems to suggest that momentum is slowing with exports and with the industrial sector, which was really leading the way. Inflation, as you mentioned, is a concern because prices are starting to go up for raw materials all over the world. You're seeing that in US data as well. And the cost of shipping things has also gone up quite a bit, you know, with the Suez Canal incident and with the general backlog in shipping globally. So things are just getting more expensive. And that's a concern because higher prices may end up, you know, reducing the amount of stuff that China sells. And it may also put some constraints on the central bank in China, which if it needs to, you know, add a bit more juice to the economy, is going to feel more constrained if inflation is rising.
Thank you, Jonathan Chang, reporting for us from Beijing. Just ahead, what's the status of a return to school? We'll get a report card on where things stand after the break.
NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
We're already seeing the impact of the COVID-19 vaccination rollout in our daily lives. Restaurants and stores are opening up. In some places, you can even go to the movies. But what about education? When will schools fully open up? How will they do it safely? And what'll be required of students? Let's get into all of these issues with our Education Bureau Chief, Chastity Pratt. Chastity, glad you could be here.
Hi, Mark.
Chastity, President Biden pledged to reopen most K-8 schools in his first 100 days in office. We'll be hitting that deadline later this month. Where do things stand?
Well, we're really close. So when you look at the information from the American Enterprise Institute in conjunction with Davidson College, it's a tracker that we really look at quite often, you'll find that about a dozen states have some remote-only districts, and that's a huge change. The only state that's fully in person is Florida. Texas is mostly in person, but overall, about 50% of the country's 13,000-plus school districts are hybrid, meaning they have some in-person learning and some remote learning. About 44-45% are fully in person. That's a huge improvement from this time last year. And about 6%, 5 or 6% are fully remote.
I remember at the start of the pandemic, the two of us talked about the financial strain facing local districts. They had to train teachers and buy new tech to switch to remote learning and spend a lot on cleaning and ventilation to make sure that kids who were learning in person stayed safe. As part of the most recent stimulus package, schools will be getting $130 billion. What do things look like for school systems going forward from a fiscal standpoint?
Financially, the stimulus has provided a huge just jackpot of money for schools that have, they were facing revenue cuts at a time when they needed more revenue, right? And so what we've seen with all the stimulus packages in total, Mark, is about $200 billion in total going to the school districts across the country at a time when they really needed it. Now, a good deal of that is for low-income students, districts that have students who have more needs than others. A lot of that money is going for that, you know, Title I funds and things of that nature. But this money, it looks like it's going to tide them over, and they're supposed to spend it down by 2024. But having that kind of money is going to be a huge boon. Look at it like this. During the Great Recession, the federal government provided about $5 billion to school districts. Now they're looking at about $200 billion. Now, do they have extra costs? Of course. There's the PPE and things of that nature. And there's also, you know, they need to address learning loss. A good deal of the schools are going to improve their summer school offerings so that students have some extra time on task to address some of their learning loss issues during the year. So going forward, this money, the school districts and superintendents are telling us, it's going to be very important.
Across the country, vaccines are being rolled out. The Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is currently authorized in the U.S. for people 16 years and older. The companies are hoping to get approval to use the shot for children 12 and older. What role are vaccinations going to play for districts across the country?
Well, it's twofold, right? So what the CDC has said, that younger students are less of a risk, right? And the Pfizer a vaccine that's rolled out, that's the only one that can maybe be, you know, used in younger kids, right? That is going to be less important than getting the high school students, the older students vaccinated. Because what we saw over the past years, the elementary schools went back in, they saw far fewer community spread in those schools. The middle schools and high schools with the older students, they were the last to go back with school reopening because they're more of a risk when it comes to spreading the virus. So it's going to be more important to get those older students vaccinated moving forward to reopen and keep open schools in the fall.
On the topic of vaccination, a number of universities, including Duke, Brown, and Syracuse, said they'll require the COVID-19 vaccine for students to attend classes. These are private schools. Will there be pushback? What about students' privacy?
Well, you know what? It's not only the private schools. Rutgers was one of the early ones to get in and say, we're going to require that students get the vaccine, and Rutgers is public. But yeah, there's been some pushback. You have a few states, I'm thinking of Utah, to say you can't require businesses or schools, colleges, they can't require it. And, you know, that's a debate that's open right now because what you see is the testing for COVID-19 and the vaccines are for, they're approved for emergency use. And so the debate and the pushback that we've seen with colleges requiring vaccine is you have some people who will say, well, these are required for emergency use only. You can't make people get them. But what we found is that emergency use means that people have the right to refuse. However, that does not preclude the colleges from requiring it. This is going to become a more heated debate as we get closer to fall when colleges, more colleges are expected to require it. But we also have to remember that vaccination requirements are nothing new to college campuses. You know, there are some that require the MMR. There are even some now that require the flu shot. So issues of privacy and things of that nature have already been worked out because vaccines, again, are nothing new on college campuses.
Education Bureau Chief Chastity Pratt. Chastity, always good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
And finally, Apple and Facebook are locked in a clash over the future of online advertising. iPhone users will soon have the choice over which apps can track their data, and Facebook isn't happy about it. Facebook relies on that data to help them target ads to specific audiences. Here's WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims.
This advertising has been so efficient that it has made Facebook's revenue grow and grow. And it has also meant that tons of small businesses, they are able to in real time or were able to in real time measure so-called return on ad spend that they would get so that, you know, you could throw $100 into a little campaign and, you know, see if people like your tiny Instagram ad or your little video that you've put together about how great and authentic your roasted coffee beans are, and you're off to the races.
You can hear more by listening to our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing. And that's what's news for Friday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, stay in touch with us on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Make it a good weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.